You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.
Today on the show, I'm talking with Caitlin Keough. Caitlin, thanks so much for being with me today.
Thanks so much for having me.
Caitlin, we're talking about your show, of course, that's up through the 7th of August of this year, 2026. And this is a show of drawings and paintings, as it's titled. So I want to kind of jump right into this. There was part of the presentation of the show was a letter, I guess, from your friend who's a psychoanalyst and said some really interesting things about what's happening here or her interpretation. But let's start with the work that's in the show specifically. So there's a series of drawings. And maybe we should start there because there's two larger works that I want to talk about. But there's a number of drawings that are titled by, with looks like the date of execution. Can you tell me about these? These are all floral drawings, right?
Yeah. So those are drawings that I made a year ago. I've had a practice for, I guess, starting in 2019, I started going to visit family in Portland, Oregon. And my brother lives near to a neighborhood that has all of these public rose gardens. And so when I would go to visit my family, I would take a folding chair and a drawing pad over to these rose gardens and sit and draw. So I've been doing this whenever I can. And so last summer I went and spent, I think, maybe 5 or 6 weeks in Portland and tried to go out as often as I could to make these drawings. And this project, since I started it, was kind of devised as a way to, like, very intentionally come up with a kind of an art project that wasn't in my studio and that wasn't connected to anything larger than just the practice of going and doing this thing, this very direct kind of experience of perception, just sitting and looking at something right in front of me. So these drawings have accumulated over the years, and they have kind of started to affect my thinking about picture making and time and perception. So the drawings that I made last summer, I brought back into the studio and decided to see how they would work as material for making paintings.
So the drawings, I mean, these are very large scale works, right? The drawings, were they initially that large, or how did they go from being in the rose garden visiting your family in Oregon to the size they are here?
The drawings themselves are not so large. They're more like, I think they're maybe like 13 by 17 inches. And then the paintings that are in the show are enlargements of those drawings, and they're very, very similar. Like, I've tried to reproduce the sort of line weight and the proportion, but the paintings are also monochrome. I mean, they're white with a black line, and the drawings are similar. They're line drawings. They're just a dark line on the white paper. So what you see in the show is a bunch of the drawings, which were made, you know, sitting next to a rose bush, and then a group of some paintings that were the results of blowing up those drawings really large. So the painted versions are 72 by 54. And I make those the same way that I make all my paintings, which is just having a study and then making a grid on the study and then making a grid on the canvas and scaling up the information in the drawing just freehand onto the canvas. So it's a very old-fashioned, low-tech way of transferring a picture from one space to another.
So interesting, because that's also about scale, right? I mean, you're scaling these up dramatically, and especially with flowers, roses, botanical imagery, it takes on a new meaning, doesn't it? The scale of a small one feels like it's near actual size. A large one feels like we're in almost a sort of fantastic jungle. Something something shifts there a little bit, doesn't it?
For sure, for sure. And that question of what the effect is of scale is something that I've been interested in for a long time. Like I've had, I mean, 72 by 54 is kind of on the smaller side for me for a painting. I've really liked to make paintings that are, you know, 8 feet high, and have a long kind of run on continuous compositional space. And that's because I like to have this experience of the painting's atmosphere being kind of like a theatrical space that you enter with your body or that you experience with your body. And so with this question of scaling up the rose paintings and seeing what it would do to the roses, I think my question was like, how abstract, how unfamiliar does this information become when it gets scaled up? Where does the image lose its tension of recognizability when it's small? When does it lose it when it gets really big? And what new tension comes in? So kind of actually very formal questions, but those are kind of formal aspects that I look to experience very kind of physically when I'm looking at the painting.
That's fascinating, that sense of scale. You also said you began these drawings in, as I remember, 2019. So that's right in the pandemic, right? This sense of, and I'm just kind of reading into this, but was that part of it? Because for me, like during the pandemic and going out after the pandemic to see art, to see the world, had a different meaning, right? As opposed to being indoors in a studio, being outdoors. Is that when these started? Was it during the pandemic?
It was the summer of 2019, so it was just before the pandemic. And when I went there, it was like, you know, I had had this few years leading up to the summer of 2019 where I was just working constantly in the studio making shows and making work for fairs. And I had felt really kind of locked into the studio for those few years. And so giving myself this summer in Portland in 2019 to make work outside of the studio and work that no one needed and no one was asking for was like really purely just like a project about kind of like resting and recovering and kind of thinking through, like kind of trying to clear the slate a little bit and like get to sort of simpler terms in relation to making pictures. And then, you know, it was when the pandemic happened, you know, 6 months later or whatever, I did continue to draw flowers, but it was kind of like, in a way, that year of 2020 was kind of, for me personally, it was kind of a reprieve. Like it was really nice to suddenly have all this space again, which was what I had been looking for in 2019 when I made those initial drawings. And I will say, like, this plein air observational drawing, especially of plants, is a drawing practice that I've had since I was in middle school. And it's one of the ways that I was taught to draw. So by me going back and doing it in 2019, I was kind of trying to get to something that felt sort of originary, I think, for myself. And making these paintings for this most recent show, I think I was the thing that really interested me in turning my plein air drawings into these big paintings was kind of thinking about like experiencing what the difference would be from making a painting, making an oversized image of a picture that I myself had found in the world and then created, had turned into an image, which felt like an interesting question in relationship to painting, because for so many years, my studio painting practice has been so much about appropriation. And so like in my studio, I have this whole kind of economy of like finding things, mostly, you know, it's all printed matter or like antiquarian postcards or pictures in monographs or just looking through the cell phone photos in my phone that I've taken when I visit museums to look at shows. So the studio is the space where I'm looking through all of this already existing imagery that I find some kind of fascination with. Like it's that process of finding imagery to appropriate and bring into my painting practice is always a very intuitive one, and one that I don't actually put like a ton of analysis onto. There's not a lot of like narrative rationale for choosing an image. It's really about a kind of very hard to pinpoint kind of quality of fascination, of mysteriousness. And sometimes the imagery that I appropriate is very familiar, and sometimes it's some weird obscure illustration from the early 19th century or something like that. So that's not really like iconographic, the sort of iconic status of a thing is not what I'm interested in. It's a more kind of unknowable quality of fascination. And so with the rose drawings, turning those into paintings, you know, when I make the rose drawings, it's like I sit down and I start to draw. I find a rose that looks kind of like it has some compelling kind of potential formal sort of shape or gesture to it that looks unlike maybe what I drew over the last couple of days. So I was kind of looking for a sort of difference, but also so something sort of unusual. And then when I sit down and I start making the drawing, you know, it's essentially a contour drawing. And so I'm starting in one place and then just following all of the lines. And I don't know what will end up being on the paper. So there is, again, there's like a sort of a question of fascination with what I sit down to draw. But ultimately I'm the person who made that thing, that phenomenon in the world turn into an image. And of course with roses, the idea of a rose as an image is already deeply familiar, no matter how much you kind of diversify it or make it strange in any way or make it more organic in any way. And so, yeah, this kind of question of using imagery that I made out in the world and turning that into paintings, I think it made me like feel very close to the part of making a painting, which is the very subtle sort of malleability of information that you receive and then want to put back out, if that makes sense. It was very fun to like sort of just really obsess over like cropping, and the paintings of the from the rose drawings are often composites. So it would be like I would kind of blend two or three drawings together.
Yeah, that's so interesting. Yeah, so there's the drawings, the paintings. And then there's matrix paintings, right? There's some that are quite a bit different. I wanted to look at a few of those that are in the show. So there's more than one, but to begin with, the matrix painting, looking, right? That's mm-hmm. in the show. This is a very different approach in some ways to the drawings that we've been talking about, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So this is a painting that I was working on over all of last year. And it was kind of going on in the background while I was, you know, going and making these rose drawings and then turning them into paintings. And it's a painting essentially of a canvas surface and then with a Degas postcard enlarged and superimposed on top. That painting is 6 feet high and 8 feet across. So that's a typical size for me, although normally I would paint that size vertically. That's basically an image of, I think for me, that's like a painting that is about looking at the materials that go into making a painting for me. I had made a few of those paintings in 2024. Wanted to go back to it. Like, I think there's a, I have a fascination with grids. Like the grid has been this tool for expanding and contracting imagery for me. The canvas itself is a grid. I'm really, really interested in fabric as a surface, as a veil, as a substrate. I find fabric really compelling, and so it's always kind of, you know, a pleasure to be making a picture on a piece of fabric. So I think I wanted to kind of just think about the material that a painting is made up of. And so I started making these lattice paintings that are sort of exaggerated renderings of a lattice in about 2024. And the paintings I was making in 2024 were really small, and I would just set like a postcard that I had kind of just knocking around the studio, a postcard I'd been thinking about for a long time. A lot of times I'll have postcards in my studio for 10 years. You know, they're just sitting around in piles, they're in drawers, they're in boxes, and I'll go through them every now and again and see what kind of seems particularly interesting. I have little piles of them, I have them spread out on the wall. There's kind of a constant sort of flux of just these little pictures moving around. And so I started taking a postcard that seemed especially fascinating and sort of isolating it by setting it on top of one of these small paintings of lattice, kind of as a way to sort of stage it and to isolate it and to kind of let its weird work kind of happen at me in a more emphasized way, like to really see it in relationship to this idea of ground, of canvas. So that's what those small paintings were doing. And then I decided to try making a really big version. And I honestly think that the big version of these matrix paintings, this lattice with this postcard image, I think it's funny. Like, I think that's like a fantasy. I think I had a fantasy about making that painting probably for about 5 years before I made it. Like, it's weird how, like, you'll sometimes kind of, like, there'll be this kind of, like, you know, some kind of like a sort of like phantom painting that is always kind of out there, and you're never quite sure if or when you'll get to it. And I think when I made those small lattice paintings and set the postcards on top, it kind of felt like it was like I was working my way towards this kind of thing that had been kind of in some way kind of bugging me, which was trying to figure out how to make a painting that was a very, very simple representation of what was going on in the studio all of that other time while I was making collages and painting the collages and working very deeply with all this reference material that I had, but kind of always hoping that I could get more directly at representing the material of the studio and the experience of the studio. And so this big painting that we're talking about, where it's just this big lattice with this Degas sketch of a woman looking through opera glasses. Like that's just a very simple representation of what I feel like I'm trying to do in the studio. And yeah, so for this show, it just felt like a painting like that was so much about the experience of looking and choosing imagery. Like, it felt like that needed to be in the room with the rose paintings and rose drawings, which is a, you know, a representation of going around using your eyeballs, looking at things, picking out pictures, that kind of thing. So I kind of liked the way in which this Degas woman became a little bit of like a stand-in for me in relationship to these roses.
I see. I like that so much. Yeah. Well, it's a really exciting show for those who can. Please go down and see it. They can learn more in here by going through the links. But please go see the show before it closes on August 7th. I want to ask you one more question before we go. A little off topic. What are you reading at the moment?
Oh man, what am I reading? I am reading. Well, I just finished a really amazing book called Riverwork by Lisa Robertson. Yeah, that book was incredible. I'm a big fan of her writing. And I just started a new book, which is very small and very difficult. And it's called Aqua Viva. And this is a Clarice Lispector book that actually my friend Kathleen, who wrote the text for this show, she gave me this book. And yeah, it's probably about, I don't know, it's like 80 pages. And it's, Lispector sort of writing in the present tense. It's a little bit like, I think the experience of reading it is sort of like reading poetry, but it's kind of first person statements about what writing is doing to her while she's trying to write. I don't know. I haven't figured out what it is that I'm reading as I'm reading it. It's kind of wonderful because it feels so hard to categorize. And then I am also reading, I just started reading Cruel Optimism. And I'm really excited to see where that goes. That's a book I've been really wanting to become familiar with. I've only read about it. So yeah, that's what I have going on right now.
Well, thanks so much. I really appreciate your time talking with me today and this beautiful show. Again, for listeners, please try to see Caitlin Keogh's show at Bortolami before it closes. There's links here to find out more. Caitlin, thank you so much for talking with me today.
Thank you so much. It was a pleasure.
You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.